Because Muslims support stuff that they don't need to support. It's like, I shouldn't have to point out. And I also feel like, as a black Muslim, you're always tired of pointing out
things. Yeah, being the person to call out. Like,
all these other people have been, they've been supporting, they've done the interview. I don't know if they called out or said anything in private, because obviously we don't know.
Exactly.
But it's just like, we've all been it. But why do we keep allowing non-Muslims to enter our place and tell our stories for us?
Yeah, you're hungry.
No, I'm not. My tummy's just misbehaving. I've actually quite lied loud. Oof. It's so mad. I need to add more questions.
Yeah, like, as if we feel like they need to validate us because we've been suppressing and oppressing in society. But everybody, man.
Ugh, this validation is actually mad. And do you know what is? There are platforms cropping up. Like, you don't have to look very far to find platforms cropping up that are telling Muslim stories. So why do you feel like you have to be the one non-Muslim voice to tell our story? Like, it's just low-key mad.
Yeah. This is really, and you would never know. That's another thing. She hasn't even stated it. And I'm just finding that those are bad.
She's not Muslim, right?
She's not Muslim. She's just saying,
I know.
I am a person who's just interested or whatever.
No.
She's going to these guys, and anybody that looks at this will just assume.
You'd assume it's a Muslim page. No. It's problematic on every level. I don't like it.
She might be nice.
I don't like it. I think she's a nice person, but I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I feel like I think you should be very open and honest with everything if you're doing these things. Like, if you're entering a community.
Like, wouldn't you do that straight off the bat? And she'd be like, look.
I was going to go tell a story on Indians, and I didn't tell no one I was Indian. I was just there collecting stories. Like, it doesn't even make any sense to me. The more I think about it, the more I'm just like, it's
common sense. Like, you wouldn't have to, you would just do it off the bat. The first person would be like, this is who I am, this is what I want
to
do.
I'm a black girl that loves Indians. I want to learn more about Indian culture. So I took myself to India to hear from there.
To live the life.
Ah, cool, you can't, boom. But if I'm just like, you know, Indian in the name. Like,
basically pretending to be Muslim.
Desi girl in London. You'd all be like, you'd all assume I was Indian as well.
That's exactly what she's doing.
It's blatant catfish, clickbait. It's all of the marketing techniques. I just don't like it. It's a very long worded letter that's going to get sent today. And I don't know how to not be...
Just go for it.
Patronized. Because it's like, the way I thought about it as well is like, if I said to you, I'm going to teach you a lot about baking, but I've never baked in my life.
Exactly.
And then halfway down, you go, oh, I've never baked in my life, but after I started, I've now got 3 baking friends. Would you still trust me to teach you about baking?
I would just be like, huh?
I still don't know a damn thing.
You go to the doctor and they're diagnosing you, and then they're like, oh, actually, I don't have a qualification. I'm
not a doctor, I just have doctor friends. Would I ever trust you with a diagnosis? I would maybe listen to advice, but I definitely won't be like
going on what you're saying.
The more I thought about it, like, it really had me tossing and turning, and I was just like, oh, I actually have to say something, because if I don't say something, I'd be very, very mad. And I feel like I want to address it privately, but I'm also going to address it publicly as well, because. I feel like I'm going to address it privately just because I want.
But at the same time,
if you don't change your act, if you don't change your bio, if you don't change your information and become more forthcoming with these facts, because it does make a difference.
Drag her.
Not even drag, it's just going to be a nicely writ article about why we can't keep on supporting this in the community. Like,
I heard though, definitely.
If I've messaged you privately, I'll definitely say this is the case study I'm talking about and this is why it can't run. Because if you say this to Muslims and you give them these facts, Muslims will tell you this can't run.
Everyone will look at you sideways. Everyone will be like, huh?
And not to be funny right now, yeah, but people of colour, we're only just, and I'm saying people of colour because it's a community thing at the moment, but we're only, and minorities, we're only just being able to speak for ourselves. Not that white people are the bad guys, but in this storytelling, it's like you guys are kind of like the big bad guy. You dominate everything.
And now we're getting that small room on the stage. We're going to take it away again.
You gave us one slice of cake and now you want to eat from that cake too. But you have the whole... pie. You have everything.
You have other pastries. You have a kitchen or two.
You have the whole of Greg's. Greg's isn't halal. You have the whole of Greg's. Greg's isn't halal, but you want to come and be eating samosas. It's actually not fair.
Exactly.
It's not even that you want to come and eat samosas, because you're welcome to come and eat samosas. You want to open up your own vegan samosa restaurant in the middle of East London. Basically, that's what you're doing. You're just opening up some vegan samosa restaurant in the middle of East London. You've marketed it for everybody, so no one even knows that you're not Indian owned or Asian owned. So everyone thinks you're some, you know,
some new funky, the best thing in town, and then boom,
you're radar radioing it when nobody even knows.
What does radar radio do?
Oh, that was just...
Apparently, there's supposed to be, like, a black radio station.
It's not that they were a black radio station. It was that there was, like, this undercurrent of assumption that it was either community-owned, government-owned, which, not necessarily government-owned, but, like, a community project that the government funded, let's say. So, like, the way I likened it to was, like, apples and pears from, like... I don't know if you guys had apples and pears in South London, but we had apples and pears after school club.
Apples and pears.
Okay, cool.
What's that?
It was like an after school club. There was quite a few, like apples and pears. Like, you'd go there after school. It was like a government-backed community youth project. And you'd go there after school and stuff, and you'd chill and play games and stuff, and then eventually fell into gangs and crimes. But not necessarily... the projects itself didn't fall into, but then, like...
facilitated that, because everyone was there.
Everyone was there. So you met different people, and then, yeah. Mummy didn't let me go too tough, so I only showed up
twice.
Maybe
it was that, we just never went.
Yeah, but then that's how I kind of pictured what Radar Radio was. I thought it was like a government-funded youth community project that was like funded by the government for the youth kind of thing.
But so it's been recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We didn't say any names except for Radar Radio, but who cares? That was on the timeline. But it was, what's it called? If I remember correctly. Yeah, so that's how I thought it was. And I thought like all the like, not Black Twitter, but all like...
Black Twitter.
Basically-ish. Black Twitter, but in real life Twitter. Or in real life, they were kind of like involved in doing things. And different people were running different projects. So I felt like it was run by the black community, but it wasn't a black-owned thing. Yeah, it was a government thing. So I just felt like it was one of those like Prince's Trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
should they get involved in the community, getting down with the kids?
Yeah. Like when you go to like an after-school thingy that's community-led. I don't know why, it just gave me that feeling. But then it turns out it's owned by the son of Sports Direct, of the owner of Sports Direct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Newham United Stage, God knows, the football club, I don't know. So basically it's owned by a millionaire, Radar Radio, but it's been packaging itself as a for us, by us kind of thing.
False packaging, like, yeah. Please don't.
And most people were okay with it because they felt like it was doing good, so they...
But I still feel like... The fact that that wasn't known is problematic.
The fact that they didn't want people to know is what was problematic. Because when they started talking about non-disclosure, so when the girl was talking about how she was getting abused and assaulted or whatever, and she had to sign a non-disclosure, it meant that, and in the non-disclosure was the fact that she couldn't talk about the fact that it was owned by the son of Sports Direct. Because I was thinking, what's that got to do with this abuse case? So basically from her from her expose, she had written that she had been abused or assaulted, and she is a victim of sexual assault in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously the situation triggered her, and she didn't even report it initially. She wrote about it on Facebook, and when she went back into work, they were like, you can't... Or did she report it? I don't know. Something happened, Sha. But when she went back to work, they were kind of like, this behaviour is not the kind of behaviour we expect from our staff. And she was like, what? So you expect your staff to be assaulting women? Like, you're not going to address that, but you're going to address me kind of thing. Mm. For speaking out against it. So then they were like, make a report. So she made a report. They made her go for everything that happened. A few days later, they basically, the guy that handles HR, or the company that handles HR, PR, press, or whatever, for Sports Director for a major company, now comes in to handle her situation. And they're like, they make her go through the whole thing again. XYZ and the rest. She goes through the whole thing again. Then they're like, okay, we're gonna do sensitivity training for everyone involved. And she's just kind of like, sensitivity training is not the outcome for harassment or assault or whatever happened, because she didn't actually detail what they did to her, which I'm not asking her to. But she was like, that's not the answer. So she ends up quitting. She's like, since they quit, she was like, since she quit, they've not they actually didn't even go ahead with the training, so that didn't happen in the end. Instead, they had her sign non-disclosures, so she's not allowed to talk about the incident, she's not allowed to talk about Radar Radio, she's not allowed to talk about music, she's not allowed to talk about the fact that he's the son of a Sports Direct person. She's not allowed to talk about anything.
Yeah.
They had her sign this, so she was obviously by telling us this thing, she's broken that agreement. But I was reading it, I was just like, music is obviously what you're passionate about. Why are you not allowed to talk about music?
My career.
All this non-disclosure, all you could have, like, it's not even you should have or could have yet, but they took it too far.
Yeah.
You made her not... You basically silenced her in every aspect. You were just basically like, you need to leave this career altogether.
Do something else.
You can't talk about anything.
So imagine I built myself in this career, because it's not necessarily easy to build something like media as well. And because you don't want to be known for what you are, you're silencing me completely. Basically. Trash.
So they silenced her completely. And then there was a group called Pussy Palace. They left. They left in their statement. Their statement was, it wasn't general, but it wasn't like specific in names. It just said that things were going on and they've been hearing things, and they can't, as an advocate of all women, they can't support this anymore, so they're leaving. So they left. They were like probably like the domino that triggered everything. So they left.
Okay.
Then the girl now brought out her what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So then she now exposed them. And then when that happened, all the people that read it were just kind of like, do you know what? We can't support this. And then it came out that the people that were working there didn't even get paid.
Yeah.
Some people were working on a volunteer basis, so they weren't even paying people. It's all too familiar. It's all these companies that are working off other people. They're like, send us this, do us that, write us this, send us videos, do da da. But they're not paying anybody. It's all like, you're building yourself a reputation, but you're not. And I know it's a dream to be able to pay off your staff, but Ray does a bit mad because you're the son of a millionaire. Like, come on, man.
You have peas.
Your dad could have.
You could just give us the change that you don't appreciate. That's going to be enough for us. It's kind of like, I just forgot what I was going to say. I was going to talk about RLT, Visa Bay, and how, like, okay, I've kind of, okay, early on, I think 2 episodes ago, I was a bit like, she's a scammer. I kind of calmed down and I kind of see how she was played. I think she didn't know her worth in the sense that she was doing a lot of stuff for free. Mm. Now she says she went on this whole Instagram thing to make money. She said that she did everything for free, and I just thought, that's dumb. Me, if I was an Instagram person, I would ask for payment. Mm-hmm. But she didn't ask for payment, and she then was sending her clothes for free and whatnot and just making money off her. Obviously, if you're small as a company, then it is like for like and it is share for whatnot. But if you're a big company, i.e. son of a millionaire, that's exploitation.
It's also another thing that's been said a lot today, that they're like, how basically, like, compared to like American what was the word that was used, American organizations or corporations, in America they're more willing to pay. In the UAE they're more willing to pay. It's in only in the UK that businesses don't want to pay. And really? Maybe it's because, like, this undercurrent has been set that you don't have to pay, kind of thing.
Mm.
So now people kind of, like, they don't, businesses would rather not pay you, and they'll always want to treat you with exposure. They feel like we're all starving artists. There's a starving artist.
Yeah, we're thirsty for everything. But just because
you want, like, to, you can treat them anyhow because it's like,
oh, I think that's so bad.
Sometimes exposure is really good. Sometimes just being in a room is enough, and people don't, and they'll get their next paycheck. But that's not everybody. That's not the case for everything. And sometimes the company is going to benefit a lot more. So I was looking at my engagement, and I was just like, I don't have massive amount of followers, but my engagement and my reach is actually kind of mad. So I was looking at the my statics, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was deep, and I was just like, first of all, yeah, if someone was like to me, they want to, what's it? Because obviously my Insta stories is where I focus on now, and that's been. That's been a smart move. But it's like, someone wanted to be like, oh yeah, you want to hire, or you want me to promote something, content of yours, because I've seen my figures and I see that
you know your damn worth.
I know that. Do you know what? I can promote your content, and on my Insta stories, it will get a certain amount of reach and figures, and it gets shared and it gets sent to places. That's why I started putting my little, like, cartoon character.
I saw the other day. I was like, yes, girl, you
can. I was getting a little pissed off. I was like, I can be nice, but I can't be stupid. Like,
yeah,
I was
selling yourself for free.
Putting nothing out content, and I'll free, see honey. People screenshot and post it on their story.
Yeah, I've been seeing other people doing polls too. I'm just like, where'd you get that from?
It's like, do the polls, do everything, yeah. But at least do not it, like, steal my scenario. Yeah. I've been seeing. People do it and they credit, and I'm always grateful to people that credit, because I'm like, it's like, is what is, like, you want to have the discussion, and I get it, like, it's interesting discussions and stuff, yeah. But I really honestly see people, like, post a scenario and be like, oh, I heard this from somewhere.
You know,
you
heard it this
from somewhere.
You heard it from me.
Word for word, you literally just took that from my page.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, trash. It was my mistake anyways, because I actually just sat there and just posted everything without putting my own tag.
No,
you're going to see me, like, the shade room, just... in the middle of everything, I was just like,
but you learn. At least you learn. You're learning now. So before, like, you blow, and people just take your stuff and making money, it'll be so bad. I saw the other day on the TL how someone had done some art stuff, and then some other bigger person stole it and made money off it. And it's just like, and he quote tweeted this saying, "This is literally my work." They just copied it straight off the bat.
There's so many and that they're doing.
You don't want that to happen.
Two occasions that I saw that. Like, one was when Charlamagne was wearing a hat. And it had this artwork on it, and the girl was like, "You literally took my artwork, put it on a hat, and now you have celebrities wearing it." And she tagged Charlamagne, and she was like, "I've told you several times that this does not belong to this person. Stop promoting it." And the guy was like, he took it off the first time, but then obviously when it started making more money, or when he started getting into the hands of celebs, he put it back up and he blocks the comments. So she can't even say anything. That's her work that he's monetized.
Hard work. Mm. Me, that's a part of me. That's like, I feel like, especially with creative stuff, that's a part of you you've given to the world. That's you literally manifested in a form of art, and someone just taking
you can't get sensitive without your right. I feel like if you follow me on Twitter, you know how sensitive I am, and that's why I try to limit to 3 tweets about a certain subject.
I think you should just do threads like me.
No, I actually can't, because it's just too much information. You know how I feel like sometimes, especially when I've done something or I've created something in a particular style, right, and then I see someone do the similar, like, the utmost same similar thing, like, you practically, and I'm just like, good vibes for everybody, innit? If we're following each other, we're mutuals, yeah. I'm not gonna come with you with hate and negativity, because it's like, it is what it is, yeah. I got inspired from somewhere as well, but it's low-key mad, like, give me a break, let me chill, innit? Let me chill.
Nodding, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Nod. Like, I'm not even frozen yet. This ice is still set, it's slush. And you've just come and collected me and just put me in hot tea or something. Like, exactly. I don't even know. I don't know, man. I get mad sensitive, and I don't want to cuss people, because it's like, tomorrow or a week's time, I'll forget about it, I'll be over, and you can't be possessive.
In this world, someone will take your idea and make more money, or make more, or essentially steal your... Okay,
not everything about race, yeah, but it always seems to land with black people at the bottom. It's like, you keep on feeding these people, and oh my God.
Exactly.
The statement that the Pussy Palace made when they left you, I was like to my brother, I was like, I read that statement, and I screenshot that statement, because I was like, you see this, yeah? Let me even read it to you.
Please
I was
do.
Like, me that doesn't have the English, I don't have the English to be able to call people out for what they are. So if I'm trying to call people out, you lot will just think I'm being paid, or you think I'm being in my feels. So I always keep quiet. And when people call other people out, I'm like, oh.
So ridiculous. So
I'm like, it's so fantastic. I was like, oh, I can't wait to the day I call someone out like this. Hold on, where did I put? I didn't delete it.
But yeah, man, this is a bit mad.
I found it. So it was the last line. It was the last paragraph, and they were like, "We feel that they have tokenized women, feminism, queer and trans culture, and black and other people of color for capitalist purposes." Yo, your fave platform tokenizes black women. I've been screaming it for such a long time, but I'm just a waste, man, because I don't have the energy to do the full expose. But it's like, when I read that, I was just like, this is actually a thing to be mad about. Like, I'm not weird. I'm not being petty. I'm not making a race thing. Tokenizing black culture for the. Every time something pops up on my account, I'm black. I see. That's nice.
Honestly,
so this is what you're doing now. Okay.
It's been done.
I'm just like, when other people are doing it, you had nothing but shade to say, but now.
Now it's a survive, it's a bop, it's something to jump on.
It's allowed now, because the white people have said this. They validated it. The people that wait for white validation before something is okay, you're the people that are mad. And this is not even like to target to white people or anything like that. It's just there's actual people of colour that won't promote, support, or give anything some sort of love. They'll look at it like it's ghetto, it's ratchet, it's dirty, it's uncultured. They'll look at you like you're some sort of swine flu, yeah? But as soon as white people Coachella that,
now it's
next minute,
I was thinking about
think
Coachella
piece,
as well.
Article, da, 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 da. How can Beyonce do a whole performance for an audience that have no clue what's going
that's,
on?
This is what I thought, because Coachella, let's say it's 2 years ago, it was a white festival.
They weren't even singing the words. Destiny's Child came on.
And I was like, damn. And then I looked at the audience, soldier. Like, apart from these like black people at the front,
everybody was like, yeah. That they kept showing, he wasn't even vibing on beat.
It was such a waste of audience. But when you think about it, Coachella wasn't made for like what black audiences. It's only recently they've now started to bring people like Beyonce in, or like, did they bring Drake on top? Do you know what I mean? Like, Coachella was a white festival. So only recently, everyone's like, oh, I need to go to Coachella. Da, 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 da. And then they're bringing up.
It's not me that needs to go anyways.
I ain't going nowhere.
Come on, Zoe's like, if you die there, what happened? That's the fear that she put into my heart.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, damn.
There's some places that you don't even want to risk dying at.
That could be my last breath.
For real.
I'm not trying to be risen.
That's like, a sin that I don't even want to be in. But like, man, I watch it in my bed.
I've got the whole thing.
I watched it.
Did you stream it live?
I caught the last 10 minutes of it, so I rewinded and I was able
can
to
you rewind?
Watch it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was happening, because obviously I haven't been following quite.
I saw everyone tweeting about it. I was just like, oh, Beyonce's doing a madness.
It was afterwards. I was like, oh, Beyonce. And I watched all the videos. Like, damn, I had to watch this whole thing. It was really good.
You didn't even realize the time passing. Like, that's how
2 hours.
I didn't realize the time passing.
2 hours. No, I think I watched 50 because the person. person DM'd it to me and I thought it was 15 minutes. I said, 15 minutes, sis? Like, she was like, no, it's 2 hours. I said, okay. So I think I sat down with my Eba. I ate it and my hands were still there. You know when you eat Eba and it's just like, it's still on your fingers. And
it's 2 hours dry. Passed.
And it was nighttime. I was like, damn. But it was such a good... Like, Beyonce, you did that. Like,
she actually went away and I was just like, yo, Beyonce. And do you know what is, yeah? There were so many lessons to be learned, and I really wanted to write an article about it, like, from a Muslim's perspective.
I did too.
So I did like a little video instead.
Revision exams. I can't justify it right now. I might.
But then I was going to write about it, because I actually thought, like, from... There were so many lessons. First of all, she did not cater to the audience that was in front of her. She catered to the audience at home. Her mum came back and told us that. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Thank you, auntie. Because even when you watch it, it's just like, it doesn't really relate to you. You're here hyping it because you paid to see it. But really and truly, you can't say you went home and you listened to like the album and whatnot. Like,
they weren't rating Beyonce.
And even like just, the old,
which was like loud. I can't hear you. I can't hear you either.
I can hear you.
When she does it, like her own personal concert with her own fans,
you can hear the people.
You hear it. I was thinking, is it the mic? What's going on?
I thought maybe they edited the sound.
This is live, so they don't even have all that tech to be doing.
I just said maybe they did it so that the mic only picks up Beyonce and the band.
Really messy. I was like, even then. When Beyonce has her own concerts, even after the post editing everything, you can still hear the fans it's screaming.
And like, there was one time she was performing and they weren't loud enough, so she stopped the whole thing. She's like, guys, this is nothing. But I feel like she knew that this wasn't her audience. She just did it
anyway. She said her mum was like, I read the little thing, Miss Tina said after, and she was like, Beyonce didn't do it for them, but I feel like the messages needed to be put across. And you know what, the thing about Beyonce now is, and I respect and rate her hustle so much, because I've never felt that I need to work hard till my bones, till my fingers are rubbed, my fingerprints are rubbed off my fingers. Like, that's how hard I want to work right now, yeah. But the thing, like, she is so global. Like, I respect so many things now, not because of what they are to black culture, but what they mean to the rest of the world. And I feel like before, earlier, like, sometime last year when I was going through my identity crisis, part one, and I was, like, trying to distance myself from American culture because I felt like American culture was overshadowing my British identity and I didn't know whether I was a British or a Nigerian individual. I was distancing myself. But now I'm like, this goes so beyond that, because now people from all over the world are streaming Beyonce. And whilst they're seeing Beyonce, they are seeing Nefertiti. They are seeing Black Panther, Black Power. They're seeing blackness.
They hear Malcolm X
subliminal. Goes. For real.
They
You're
hear
hearing everything. Fela Kuti, everything.
Yeah.
Like, you are being intrigued. And it's not even like a invasive thing. Through what you love, you are learning a whole new part of the world.
Yeah.
And Beyonce is not just kind of representing black culture now. She's representing she's not just representing black African American culture. She's representing black culture worldwide.
Globally,
she's the black ambassador of the globe. That's what
she's like, doing.
Beyonce represents me. I'm calm.
Yeah, I'm. I'm not arguing.
Sorry, Haram Squad.
I thought about that too. I was like, oh, Haram Squad. I don't care.
But she represents me. I'm calm. She actually makes me feel really proud to be a black person and a black female.
She's
because
really empowering.
She had twins and she's running up and down the stairs.
And she's singing perfectly. That's another thing, to be dancing and singing like that.
To have so much control.
She's
faith couldn't. And I deeped, I was just like, a lot of people, they do massive fantastic stages, yeah, but it's all fanfare, it's all the people behind, it's all the structure, it's fireworks, there's a lot of distractions. Beyonce did the massive distractions and the fanfare and the people and all sorts, let's say, but she also, you can't fake it. She had to have worked hard on herself as well to be able to perform at the level she performed at.
Yeah, another thing, she's a perfectionist, but you can see it pays
you
off.
You actually see that she's working hard. Like, you can't be like, oh, you know, there's
so many things
like,
you mess up in that performance. There's so many things you can mess up.
Some people, they have things, yeah, and you'll be like, their dad bought that for them. They did this, that. Like, you can't actually take away Beyonce's accolade from her. How?
No.
You definitely just saw what she did. You can't even be like, did Jay-Z come and perform that? Even when Jay-Z came, he was
just there for 2 seconds.
He was like,
and then he backed off.
What
my girl did that. Is there gonna be a part two? Because it's 2 weekends.
They were saying there was. I don't know. I was just like, I'm cool. I don't know. But the black representation, the dancers of different sizes, the whole. I kept looking at the whole drum band, blackety black black. But the one white man, I think. I was like,
she needs to be light skinned.
That's what I thought. Really
I think she deliberately brought black people.
Centers. And do you know what else she did, yeah, that I really respected? She brought them to the front, even if it was for 10 seconds. She shouted out the twins.
Yeah.
She, when she went to change, she let the girl, who's a Nigerian, perform. By the way.
Represent.
She let her perform. She brought the plus size dancers front
to
and
the front,
center.
Not hiding in
she
the
didn't even just
the
have them. She actually brought them to the front and let them perform. So yeah. We saw them. She let the guitar. That girl came looking like all kinds of alternative me. I was like, damn.
Yeah. No.
Let me learn an instrument so I could be badass too. But it's haram.
Yeah.
But yeah, she brought her to the front. I've never seen, and it's just such a testament of growth. But I've never seen someone so willing to share. Spotlight success and actually be like everybody's going to eat today.
Everybody's eating good. When people say that, everyone's just exaggerating because normally it's like I can't say normally because
it's like you're gonna eat, like, but you're gonna feed
they
me
still
too.
Eat,
like,
they eat the main course and they eat, and then everyone else eats the appetizers and the sides. Everybody got a plate of that main course, the starter, the dessert,
and everybody came and excelled. They did them, and she was also representing HBCU culture. I was like, oh, this is sick. I felt like, wow, we don't have that in the UK. We don't to be honest, we do. If you look at the London unis, you might find like, but it's not like, what's it in?
Not as ingrained.
Like, yeah, like it's a predominantly black uni, just because like it's probably like. Black people go there, but it's not predominantly black in there. It caters to black culture, black folk, or anything.
Yeah, it's
like
not
that.
Like culturally, like institutionally black.
Yeah, it's not institutionally like, black. It's
just
locally.
Happens to be black. It's like my I go to Queen Mary, it just happens to be that because everyone
Asian
in there,
and black.
Yeah,
but it's
Asian,
not culture institutionally. Yeah.
Yeah, but institutionally,
we don't have any institutional things that promote, and it makes you realize. And then that's the other thing as well. I said tomorrow after I was like, it makes you realize. What you're missing, what we're missing in Britain, because when we think about it, we kind of leave America and we go, America's overtly racist, America's like racism, whatever, in it. But I feel like because black Americans know America's overtly racist, they can see what they're up against.
They know,
and so they
your eyes can't hit or your hands can't see, like you can see your opponent, you can fight it directly,
so they know what they're going for, and they know. We've never been able to see our opponents. We've almost been like
when
lax.
They do, it's like the shadow. You know when someone runs past you really fast and you feel the wind? That's the racism here. Like I said, the racism's in the tea. It's already dissolved.
It's so covert. And we're so lax with it because we're not realizing that we're slowly getting poisoned. So we're not really going after anything that we're going
it's
after.
Slow poison
but it's
as
like
well.
When that one person decides that, no, I'm going to do this year, that's when they start to realize, nah, the walls. So long as we don't have ambition and that. Not that we don't have ambition, but I'm saying that so long as we don't even try to aspire beyond the level that they have allowed
for
us,
we will never
understand. But then because America is now like, the African Americans have now decided that they're just not going to accept any form of whatever, and they're misbehaving to the T. And now you have Beyonce aspiring, like Beyonce doing the levels that she's doing and showing that, you know what I mean? She's like, well, she's almost a billionaire now, isn't it?
Pretty much,
her and Jay-Z. That the look at the levels, and after that, she donated 100,000 to colleges. Like she's just shattered every ceiling, and then now you're deep in it. If I want to get to Beyonce level in the UK, it's practically impossible. Like you start opening your mind in the UK, but black people in the UK realizing that we actually there's so much work we need to do, and we've been letting this covert racism hold us back for so long. Because that's how a girl can do grime lyrics as a CV and get a job. But God forbid I say I like Stormzy.
I saw that and I literally closed.
It's
that.
The worst thing I've ever seen.
I was
don't
so
care
pissed
well.
Off.
I've never been so angry.
I
and
just
again,
closed that.
You always have to preface it with, I'm sure she's a nice girl. Because it's like it's an attack on you.
Like
it's
earlier
when
we're talking
it's
about
trash.
The girl, I don't care if you're nice.
No,
girl.
You always have to preface
still,
it because it's like you gotta be sensitive with these people and their felt. You gotta like stroke their egos. No one's saying you're a bad person. No one's saying what you did was
no,
wrong.
That's the,
it's
the
just
problem.
The fact.
We're stroking people's egos, and that's why we're not shattering. Like you said, you have to misbehave to the fullest. I don't care if you're a nice person. You still took the piss.
But she didn't do anything wrong.
You know,
it's the system. She just benefited from the system. So I can't be mad at someone that just benefited from the system, but I'm mad at the fact that she's able to benefit from the system. So I'm like, you've not done nothing wrong, right? And you won't ever see how what happened to you is wrong. Because it's like, she shot her shot and she won. So you can't be mad at people shooting their shot. It's just that I can never shoot that shot. That's the problem. The problem is that it's ingrained into society where certain people can shoot shots and
win.
But did
she not think
because
that
the net
what
is
she was
a freaking
doing a
bust.
Bit like... It was a bit,
She probably thought she was being creative. But if I want to be creative now, man can't even write those dead bars. I actually can't. And if I write
and
two songs...
all the ways she could be creative, yeah. Because I'm just tired.
because the they could be creative, are fetishizing on black culture.
Exactly, so she wasn't oblivious. Or that's why you can't. That's why you telling them the nice people.
The other thing you do is when you get the white people doing a Zonto, and everyone's like, he killed it. He did not kill it. He did a basic routine and did it on beat.
Yeah,
he's not killing it, but you have black people being ready to promote, being ready to support, being ready to shout out that one white person that's a Zonto and on beat, but they'll never do the same.
It's black people that are making people, like the Yodel Kid. He's now got...
I'm so tired of us doing that. Like, no offense to the Yodel Kid, again, it's like, no offense to these individuals, yeah, but here's the thing, in a system that's benefited to tip in their favour, let's stop putting them on that platform. Let them do it by themselves. Let their own community support them.
Exactly. Like,
how many black people have I seen do sickness, yeah, and not end up on L?
Black people do sickness all the time.
Black people don't. The guy, what, no, the Vans guy, he ended up on L. King Batch has never been on L. He's made bare things go viral.
That's
who,
true.
Who else? When original Vine started, yeah, all these Vine artists.
Oh, the eyebrows on Fleek. My girl.
Never been on L, but everyone say Fleek everywhere.
Everyone's
now.
Fleek is it's a common word.
It's about to enter the Oxford Dictionary.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're considering putting it in.
But she's not getting nothing from it. All the Vine artists of colour.
He's got some scholarship or something. Anything. And he's gone on this show and that show. And he's living life because we put him there. I'm just so tired.
Oh, is it Ellen? I keep saying L. Ellen.
I said L too because it's Ellen.
I was saying L.
Oh, I'm just so tired. What are we going to talk about today? Because how long have we been speaking for?
As in, oh God, half an hour. So we've got 15 minutes. It's a light topic anyways. Someone else suggested this time ago and we finally got around to it. It was meant to be one with the guest, but I doubt she will ever come. Yeah, it says topic for a doctor. Anywho's, the topic is every child should be vaccinated. And we can lightly discuss it because it actually wasn't meant for us to discuss. It was meant for someone specifically who suggested that topic. And I felt like they wanted to like speak on their agenda.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she basically said to me, vaccinations. And she has her arguments. I can't speak on it because I don't know anything about vaccinations. But she was like, vaccinations are, it's like some agenda from the government to do something to us.
Oh.
I can't remember what it was specifically, but she was like, if you think about it, some of us don't even need vaccinations, they just make us take them.
Like, which ones? It would be interesting for her to come and say that, because that is actually true. We do it by default. We don't do it because we're thinking about what we're doing. And when you do things by default and you're not thinking about it, people take advantage of that. And I'm sorry,
it's like the flu shot, though. Someone needs to, like, I'd love a GP to tell me. That's how I was thinking. This is more like a light discussion for a GP. The flu shot, I never take that.
No, because you're not prone to it.
What, to the flu?
Yeah, so okay, if you okay, there's flu that we know of, and there's different strains of flu. The flu that can kill people is more likely to kill people if you're susceptible to, if you have certain things. For example, people with asthma, they're encouraged to take the flu jab because in combination of with the asthma, the flu can eventually then kill, and other things as well. So people like myself, and I don't assume you have asthma, right, and other people that just don't have those things don't need to take it. But people with those things, because they have that, if they were to catch that strain of flu, it's peak for them. That's why they take it. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously there's flu that you get and you're just really, really sick and just like you can pass over it. But there's that flu that can actually kill. Yeah, so I have a lot of people in my family that are doctors and we were talking about it the other day. That's the reason why.
Yeah, I keep saying, don't forget to take your flu jab. Da, 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 da. And I've always just thought,
no, there's a reason behind that. Because God forbid, for example, my Sousaville, my baby sister, she's a baby, don't know what to call her, but the youngest one, and my mum, they both have asthma, so they take it every
season.
Year, every whatever. Yeah, season.
Flu season.
And it's because they have asthma, so otherwise there's no need to take it. Because there's things that they will catch because they have their respiratory problems plus other things. My uncle was telling me, that's why you take it. Otherwise, there's no point.
That makes sense.
The things like, when you're born, you have to take this, that. I don't know. Obviously, I don't have medical knowledge. I can't learn so much. BCG. Is that... Which one was that?
Like, that's when, like, they even came around through secondary school at some point. Yes. And everyone had to go take it.
Not everyone, though. In my school, it was just a few of us. Like, 10 of us that took it. I was one of those people that took it.
They had us all line up and they made us take it again.
It was just like, we even though,
like, and again, they checked. They saw that I had it on this arm.
Yeah, and then they took it on the other arm. My skinny arm, sorry. But, like...
Because you get it when you're born, and then they gave it to us again.
So do you?
Yeah, they gave it to me twice, because I already had a scar from it. And I don't know why that thing had to create that, because the new ones don't create scars, but the old ones create scars.
When you say old, what do you mean old? When's old?
As in, like, when you're born, it creates scars.
I didn't have a scar before I took the stuff in...
the new one.
In school,
and yeah. then you have a scar now.
Yeah.
Because this is a new scar. This is not... I'm sorry, this is an old scar that I have. I'm very sure the new one didn't give me a scar. I'm just trying to find it. I don't understand. I need to give me a dirty old scar.
Yeah.
I feel like that's intentional. I'm just trying
to... Yeah. Like this little dot.
And I got that from... And it's like an 8-1, isn't it? It's like 8 around and 1 in the centre. And it's, like a, it's like those pens, no, they jock it and boom. And then you get, like, several in one go.
Yeah.
BCG, I just took it. I don't even know if I was supposed to take it or not. The guy checked my arm. He was like, yeah, I took it. And the line, I saw girls crying.
Oh, yeah.
Because, oh, I have and a fear of needle anyways. People were crying. Like, and the people on the way back was just crying. And everyone was just in this queue crying.
And it just makes me more stressed. Because I don't think I have any particular... I think recently I've developed this dislike of things in my body. Like, well, it really freaks me out. But then, it didn't really freak me out. But seeing people, like, fainting and, like... crying, it just stressed me out before I even went there. And then the lady be like, "You're tense." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm tense because everyone's freaking out, not because I'm genuinely scared." I don't know.
I've never liked needles anyway, so I just like when I had to get like the yellow fever vaccine or whatever when I was going to Nigeria the first time, because before you travel to certain places, they tell you to get like medical checkup, and they do. Actually, I've been looking. To move abroad, you need to get medical checkups and stuff done. Mm. So the ones that have been like. I've just been seeing that you need to go get, like, blood drawn. They test you for HIV for some countries.
Like where?
I know in, like, Middle East they test you for HIV and certain things like that as well.
Really? To move there?
To move it. They check your... They do a health checkup.
And they so check. If I failed the health check, I'm not moving?
I don't think they'll allow you a visa, or maybe they'll give you, like, some sort of...
Like, damn, son.
Setup. Like, no one I know has failed, so I don't know what the options are is if yeah. you fail. But...
They want to know.
This children should be vaccinated. I feel like you should be educated properly on what vaccines are, what they do. The thing, like, what we learned about vaccines in school is that, because she was like, her argument at the time was she's never fallen ill and she's not been vaccinated. And I was just like, yeah, but that's because we learned about, is it the bottleneck effect or something? Like, when everyone around you
is immune,
you get protected from it. So that's the only reason you've not fallen sick. But she put up some arguments, and I'll invite her. I'll always invite her down to come. Maybe there is,
because we all know in history that certain vaccines were given to certain people.
To kill them. For their
benefit, it was to kill, to test
them. To test them.
So, who knows?
So, obviously, there's that negative feeling from vaccines. And the fact that as black people, we're wary of everything people give us anyway. I just put
something in my body, what do you mean?
For real, just go to Africa and be running tests and stuff. Like, we know all the stories that they used to do. So, I can understand why some people are, like, against vaccines, but I just feel like it's... I don't know, I feel like it's such a...
I'd rather not take the risk.
Irresponsible thing to do as a parent, because it's like measles kill.
Yeah, and I've seen on the news, and the on your skin, and then the baby just... No.
Measles kill, and parents don't want to give their kids the measles vaccine. And it's just like, there's actual evidence, young Kua, of measles killing, and it's just like, you are subjecting other people's kids
to... Serious diseases.
And because you don't want to give your kids that, and things that could be eradicated. Like, I think polio is the other one that can be eradicated. I'm not sure. But I definitely think measles is one that could have been eradicated if everyone gives their kids vaccines. Like, there's certain diseases that shouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
If we actually work to get everyone rid of them.
Standardized.
But then I was reading this article that was posted on Twitter, actually, and they were talking about how they're never going to create cures for diseases because it doesn't help the capitalist society.
That's what I was going to say, it's always money behind it.
Yeah, so it doesn't benefit them for there to be cures. So they'd rather keep us sick. So
if everyone's healthy, who's going to the doctors?
Where's the money coming from?
That people are saying that there's cures for cancer and whatnot, but obviously we'll never know. But, okay, first of all, what we learned in school...
There's definitely cures for cancer, because the last said that there's cures for everything.
Yeah, I firmly believe that there's a cure out there. And unfortunately, I have this theory that there is a cure and they know it works with certain cancer. Okay, cancers are different, right? But they're not necessarily releasing it like that because they don't want to necessarily just give cures to people and then lose all that money. Because cancer now, my cousins were saying, is a big thing and it makes a lot of money for, well,
depends on where you know at people how that it starts.
Yeah, I definitely think the research is done, it's they're not releasing it. And I guess. In the medical world, it takes about 10 years for things to be released, apparently. That's what we learned in school. You have to test on this people, that people to do. So there's that. But I feel like by now, you can't tell me.
Because they were saying, is it Dr. Sabu?
I don't know.
Let me Google it. He's the doctor that's all about, like, Dr. Sabu. I think that's his name.
S-A-B-O-O.
I'm just
going to
Google it. S-A-B-U. I don't know. That's not him. What's his name?
Sorry, guys. Hay fever season.
I know. That's why my nose is really itchy.
Like, damn. I got outside. I was like, yeah.
Lola talks about him all the time. Sister Lola. Oh. Wholesale and natural living. That doctor that had, like, they're saying that he basically had figured out the cure to all these diseases and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government killed him.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he did.
Because he figured out the cure to HIV, I believe.
Damn. And then, yeah, I was going to say that.
What's his name?
It doesn't benefit the government. And I've heard cases of people finding cures for stuff and they kill you. There was some black guy, apparently, this is from a TL. You know when you read something on TL and it just like, doesn't sink into your brain properly?
Mm-mm-mm.
But he had some cure for something or some treatment for something. And they
managed... Dr. Sebi. Sorry.
Sebi. Oh, they managed... They killed him.
Mm.
And then some company stole it. Some.
They told his blood or something like that, right? And made a...
He made something.
On the TL. I see in South Africa, right?
I think so.
He made a cure for something and then he died.
Surprisingly died.
And then a week later, a company came out with the exact same thing. Yeah. And then people were like, don't let us forget where this came from.
Yeah.
They came out with it. Was it a water pump or something like that?
And it was very simple, very cheap.
He made an invention that was going to save the world.
People's lives.
Or save his world. Cheap.
And then some companies get, obviously now they're going to sell it and whatnot. Make money off it. That's the unfortunate thing about like health services and all that. Even the NHS is not perfect, right? And by the fact that they're trying to push us to privatize it, even then and still, it's about making money. It's about profit. It's about funds and money. And it's unfortunate because people's lives are more than fun. I mean, to me at least, I think if you're gonna go to the health profession,
you're not going for money. The guy that had 9 hearts, or God knows his name, or how many hearts.
Physical hearts, as in like boom, boom, boom,
as in, yeah, it was up to 9 or whatever. Is he dead yet? I don't know. What's his name? Why do I keep forgetting names?
You got 9 hearts, so
he's the guy behind The Economist. He's really, really rich. What's his name?
What's his name? And I just don't know it.
Let me Google 9 heart transplants. It always comes up.
So no, it's gonna give a 9 heart transplant. I'm just gonna say that unfortunately, like. Corporations and whatnot.
Yeah, there it goes. It just came up straight away.
I'm just talking about this with my friend on the
Rockefeller, 101-year-old David Rockefeller just received his 7th heart transplant on the 25th.
That was like a clothing company.
August 2016. No, he's like, look at his face, please. Why is he still alive? Why is a 101-year-old given a 7th
heart? He was in the news for something else. Is that
one of the like massive corporations behind everything? But that
yeah.
It still blows my mind how he's still getting given, and where he's getting these hearts from, please, because there's an order.
Oh, I thought he had, you know, he said 9 hearts. I thought he had 9 hearts in him at the same time.
No, 7 hearts. I meant 7 heart transplants.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Where's he getting these hearts from? And when another thing I wonder is why hasn't he died from something like cancer or liver failure, or all these other things?
Like even like someone like what's her name? Girl, saying the Queen Elizabeth.
Mm.
My girl is old, you know, and she's walking around like she's...
Can't speak on her because that will be treason and you can end up in prison.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say anything about... I'm just saying that she's very, very old, but she looks very, very healthy. And I'm assuming that Look, please cut it off if I'm committing treason. I feel like it's because whatever she falls sick with, they're going to treat it regardless. If she's forced to do something next, they're going to treat it.
I'm just finding it surprising how, like... It's mad, because back in the day, the royal monarchs would die, and then you'd get a new replacement very easily and quickly,
yes,
because they didn't have advances in technology, and so they wouldn't have long reigns. But it's kind of like...
She has the longest reign?
She has, like, a really long reign, and I'm really wondering if we're going to skip Charles and go straight to William. Probably. I think that's their names. Or are we going to give Charles a reign too, and then Williams? Because it's Charles so is just peak. As old.
Yeah, he's great.
So he's lost his, you know, youth factor, his function, prime time. So I'm saying, even he must be wondering, like, shouldn't she also step down? Like, isn't there, like...
I don't think you're allowed.
Is there, like, a nudge for her to, like... Or does she have to die for it to be over?
I feel like she even said she wasn't going to early on in her reign, or she's not allowed to. Because I was watching some... Well, when I say watching, I had heard some documentary about it as well.
Yes, illegal to insult the royal family.
What? It's illegal.
It's illegal.
I feel they need to publicise that because I feel like people...
They really need to, because we mock them all the time. Well, not we, but as in like as people. A collective we.
I've seen so many Twitter, things people mock the them TL.
All the time. But it's actually... But it's like when they want to come for you, they want to...
I mean, like, I feel like if I had ever assaulted the royal family,
I apologise.
I take it back. But I feel like they're never really going to come for me until I'm someone worth coming for. Do you know what I mean? That's how they operate, I think.
I wouldn't know, because I don't know if you'll then take offense with it, and then next thing I know, I'm in prison. But why would they come for someone like myself? Living my small,
I don't know, I'm just looking at, I'll read the article another time, but yeah, she herself, she gets ill, and we hear that she's ill and stuff.
She's
that time,
ill, she's ill.
And then like, was it 2015 when we all thought she was ill, and it was like this really bad illness, and we thought it was like the end of time for her, and then she came back and she was like, nope, not yet.
I'm back.
Yeah, I think
part of the reason why
people with money just don't seem to die easily.
Part of the reason why she's still alive is it has to be, this is not an insult, it's just fact, they have to be treating her with stuff that they don't treat common people with, that they know it's not like experimental stuff as well, because the stuff that they're experimenting with, obviously things and research happens all the time, but it's the fact that some things they just don't want to give us access to. Yeah, because
it's not even that she should be dead, it's that because I think she's like 80 something, so that's like
obviously, yeah,
but it's about the fact that her mobility and her movement
standard,
and she can walk around, and she's not even using a walking stick, she's quite healthy.
And it's not impossible, it's just for her age quite uncommon,
for her genetics as well, because it's just kind of like, I can understand that she was an African woman. I see it all the time. I see 90-year-old African women, like my great grandma was cooking up until
she,
it's quite normal. But for the Queen of England, I just, not even for the Queen of England, but like, I get what you're saying, it's just kind of mad.
It's a bit still about, that's what, it goes back to what I was saying, I don't know if it's
their feelings, puts up on the thing else.
Like medically, one of the things that my cousin's family are talking about is how medical research is done with a certain people. It's done, at least in this part of the world, with white people. So things only work, things, there's some things, I didn't know this like weeks ago, some medications don't work on black people, they only work on white people. And like I was saying, how people die of flu, and it's more commonly black people, because the medication, the treatment doesn't work for black people. And it kind of feeds into this whole concept of, obviously all the stuff, the research has been done in the West for white people, she's going to get the state of the art, because she's the queen, she has the money, she has access, and she has the status of Queen of England. Not even Queen of one small island, Queen of the United Kingdom.
They'll actually run around, they will ship whoever they need to ship, they'll do what they need to do.
And they have the funds for it and whatnot. It's unfortunate. I mean, in the sense that other people are losing out, i.e. myself, i.e. black people, i.e. yeah. But, I don't know, in terms of vaccinations, though, going back to the question, I don't know, I want to be more podcasty. What do you guys think? Well, do you guys, I think it's interesting to think, like, we're just giving these things by standard. We don't question them.
And they could really just be putting, like, biological warfare into us. And when it's time, they'll just activate and we'll just cough and die.
Well, not even that. Just, like, take over our bodies. And that's it.
We really put a lot of trust.
I don't know, what do you call it? Controlled, like, robots. You never know. Just get to the right neurons and boom.
One day, you'll just find yourself awake in some part of the world. And you'll just be like, how did I get here?
We've done something you don't even remember doing.
Maybe
they'll do that, and then they frame people because they have control of your mind. Can you see? Like, it's obviously a conspiracy, and we're just talking here, but like, it's possible because we've given complete access to our bodies. That's
trust. It's mad how we have so much trust that these lot are going to treat us, look after us, do all this. And it's your average Joe. Like, your doctor's your average Joe. But then the girl, she actually made a point. She was like, the doctors themselves don't even know 100% what they're putting inside you. Like, they know what they've been told, but they can't necessarily go back and verify it by doing tests and stuff. So they can only go off of what the pharmaceutical companies have said.
My friend studied pharmacy, and she was talking about how they are the people that know about all the drugs. So what about all the doctors? Because aren't they the people that are making the P's as well? Because doctors make money from what we know. Well, not junior doctors, but hey ho. Like, when you go up, she said no, like, technically doctors could just prescribe stuff. It's a lot of the time pharmacists that will then verify that, because they're the people that actually know about the drugs. The doctors just know to put this to this and that to that.
And it's like Lego. It's like, this fits this, and this is what we use for this, and you don't use. So like, if you see like even like medical dramas, it's like, you don't use this because, like, you don't use a blood thinner if they're on this, because if they've just had surgery because of this, and they can't have a heart transplant if they're on a blood thinner. They know all of these because this is the mess it's gonna cause you, but they don't know how this causes your blood to thin.
Yeah.
So they don't know the
science. Or they do. They know it on a very basic level.
Basic level.
Because I think doctors, from what my understanding now, is they know the physicality of the body. That's what doctors know. Drugs, which is what the common world relies on a lot more now, is more known by pharmacists than the pharmaceutical world. And I think it's a bit mad.
It's mad that you're trusting all these different people to look after you.
Yeah.
Because also, like, the drugs and, like, the side effects and everything that can go wrong. It's mad. This person over here made a drug and told you use it for your headache.
Put it in your
Put it in your mouth. And now
not even wear it on your head.
Which is why you have people that kind of go, like, they don't necessarily take, they try to take as minimal drugs as possible. Like, one of my brothers, when he gets sick, he would just rather like fight it off and build
my
his
dad's like that. Like, he came back from Umrah and my dad was sick. Like, his voice wasn't the same and he was coughing and whatnot. And I was like, "Daddy, you need to go to the doctors." He's like, "No." Until we forced him, he didn't go. And generally speaking, unless it's serious, my dad doesn't go to the hospital, doctors.
Because it's like, we've built such a reliance on these drugs that if something happens that's immune to this drug, we're all dead. Because we've not built our immune system. That's fantastic. But honestly, yeah, I don't care.
But I think I'm kind of like, because I've seen my dad be like that. I think my mum and my dad are very opposite in terms of medication. My mum actually has things that she needs to take medication all the time. So I think because of that, she's more reliant. She's just more open to it.
You won't force it.
Yeah, because she has to from what she knows. And my dad's opposite. He hasn't got anything that where he has to take stuff. So he kind of steers from it. But I think I've kind of drawn towards my dad in the sense that if I rarely take stuff. Like, okay, heavy medicine, I'm taking it now because it's there. It's for the culture.
I'm not even taking it yet.
We know it doesn't really. I think I might
have to fight it off for the longest, but right now my nose has been so itchy. Like, honestly, do you know what? I don't take hay fever medication. Like, I can do itchy nose. I can do everything. I only take it when the back of my ear, you know that bit that you can't scratch? Just behind your nose, almost. When all that bit gets itchy and you can't, you're trying, like, it's like the top of your throat. There's just like this thing, like, it's like it's in the center of your head, basically. Behind your nose, back.
I know what you mean, like, because it's the top of your throat. Yeah.
There's this center that nothing reaches. When that becomes irritated, itchy, I have to take hay fever medication. And then it doesn't even work. By then, I have to use nose inhaler. It's not eardrops. It's nose inhaler, mouth. And I think I did use eardrops once. I can't remember.
Really?
But I had eye drops, sorry.
Yeah.
Eye drops, not eardrops. I had this three-step
routine
to combat. Oh, yeah. It was a lot.
I actually went to doctors today. It's just for me to ask for hay fever. To be honest, it's because now you have to pay for a prescription. And I know it's cheaper to get my pills over the counter. I don't really ask. But maybe the nose thing.
You get the nose sniffy things. I'd get it. And then, like, you know, like, when you do ablution, and you inhale water. And if you inhale it wrong, it gives you a headache kind of thing, With the nose thing, I purposely try to inhale it wrong. Because I need it to hit that angle.
I need to feel
it. And irritate it. Like, oh. Just a little. So I can feel that something's happened. Yeah. Even when I drop the eye drops, I try to kind of, like, shake my head in a way so that it will go down.
Oh, and really? No, I like to do my eye up and down and, like, round and
no,
round,
I need, like, to swish it a bit so that, like all, like, under my eyelid is, like, soothed with the eye drop and then the pill. So first thing in the morning, pop that.
Fragile time. Literally, I'll just pill. Well, I've only done it this year because they were literally on my table. I don't know why. Coincidentally, when hay fever season started, they just happened to be on my table. But I think maybe last year, my mum's always like, "Are you taking medicine?" I'm like, "No." And even for, like, okay, pains and stuff, like period pains and whatnot, I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm in pain," but I don't know why, I've built this thing, I just don't take medicine until I really, really feel like I need to, and rarely do I take, I just don't feel need, unless I've been prescribed something. If the doctor says, "Take this," I'll trust
it's
it.
It's best to finish that routine as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, otherwise, I'll back it. Because, like, immunity.
Yeah, immunity is mad.
How trusting are you of our health service?
But it's actually mad though, because at the same time, when it comes to painkillers, so, like, when I went and got my wisdom tooth done, they loaded me with painkillers to the extent that, like, when Mohammed got his wisdom tooth done, he was in so much pain, because in the UK they didn't do that. Like, in the UK there's some drug that they won't give you, so there's some drug that you could, like, my mom, she actually reads their, like, recipe and ingredients and stuff. So, like, there's some drugs that won't be allowed to use in the UK because it's either carcinogenic or it's been proven as this or that. Like, we're quite rigorous. But there's some drugs that the rest of the world will still use. So, like, painkillers and stuff here, like, when we go to the GP, they won't give us painkillers like that. They'll just give us, like, maybe antibiotics and a couple thingy and just tell us to ride it out. So when he got his wisdom tooth done, they gave him the antibiotics and told him to ride it out. Like, I think the antibiotics must have some sort of aspirin or painkillers.
Just a little bit, but not a lot.
Not a little bit. When I got mine, I did it in Abu Dhabi.
I was going to say, where did you
But then they put me through torture. Like, they tried to kill me. It's the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. Nah, like, legit. That's why the trauma is so bad that I actually can't go back. I'm supposed to go to the NHS and get them to have it surgically removed under anaesthesia. The rest, because I actually can't go back to a dentist. Yeah, they were meant to take out two. They could only take out one when they were done. I was there for time. My mum even was like, "Did I go out afterwards?" I was like, "No, I've been in the dentist chair." The guy almost killed, like, after I was done, I was like to him, "How long have you been a dentist?" Well, he was like, 20 years. I was like,
"So what was the problem?"
Basically, my teeth sit on my nerve line.
So it's very tricky to get out.
So they numbed it, but it didn't numb. And I'd never had my tooth removed before, so I don't really know what numbing's supposed to feel like. So I thought maybe it's just meant to be like quiet, like just like, you know, maybe not so intense.
Yeah.
So they cut me and all that. I didn't really feel all of that. But anytime they tried to remove my tooth, but because it was on the nerve line, I felt everything. So I could feel the pressure of this grown man in my jaw. And so then I was just like, I'm still feeling it. And the guy was like, you're still feeling it. And he was shocked. I was like, yeah, because I was flinching. And so he's like, you shouldn't be moving, like, because they need to take it out. And my tooth was like on the nerve line. And then all the other teeth were like, you know when you like hit your elbow and like your whole body spazzes?
Yeah.
It was like that.
In your mouth.
In my mouth. Ooh. Every time they made a move. And then I have really sensitive teeth. So I told them I have sensitive teeth already. And they were like, yeah, that's not normal. So I think I have nerves in my teeth because my teeth are sensitive and they're sweet. So sensitive is like hot and cold, and sweet is like sugar. You can't take sugar. So sometimes if I eat a chocolate wrong, my whole mouth will spasm. And if I have ice cream, that's why I don't eat fruits. I know I still eat chocolate, but that's why I don't eat fruits. Because if I eat a fruit, sometimes like when they're cold, my whole mouth will spasm. Like down your spine. So they were doing it. And I could like, my mouth was open. I could see this man. All his force, my tooth wasn't coming out. So then he injected my mouth again with the numbing thing. And it's like some thick, like,
I've seen
injection.
Yeah.
So he did it again. My mouth wasn't numb. I was numbed. No, like, I wish I had to reduce the number. But I honestly know that I was numbed like 7 times. Like, my mouth was not, like, I was just, they just kept injecting. My mouth was not getting numb. Then he gave up and got like another dentist to come in. So now I have 2 dentists. So now rather than being able to take my tooth out, they were like, they're going to crack my tooth and crack it into bits and then just pick it out because there's no way they can move my tooth. And they were supposed to take 2 out. It's like cracking my tooth, these 2 men chipping at my tooth or whatever. I'm feeling everything. I'm like, no, that's this
trauma.
Is madness.
That's traumatizing.
I was just there. You know, you're just looking at this guy, like I'm laughing, but I'm really crying. I was just terrified. I was thinking to myself, why did I think I'd come alone? I was so mad at the fact that Aisha and my mum didn't come. I've never been so upset in my life. I'm like this grown person, just looking at these 2 men digging into my mouth. You know, you're just like giving up. I've just given up on life.
You do, yeah.
I was just so like, so as soon as they managed to get my tooth out and they showed me that they'd cracked my tooth into like these little bits, they showed it to me, it's disgusting. They were like, we're not going to do the others. I was like, no. You're not doing anything more. I'm done with this one tooth. Because I even think they know themselves that they'd put too much into my mouth. My mouth wasn't thingy. And then the guy was like, oh, okay, cool. When I was done, the guy was like, we're going to put you into the other room and the nurse is going to give you an injection in your bum. So they're going to like make sure that like basically you're not going to feel any pain because like this is mad. So they injected me. They gave me some heavy painkillers, everything. I went home. They were like, I wasn't supposed to eat. I went home. I was looking at my mum. I hadn't cried.
Look at her face.
I hadn't cried yet. I walked in and she goes, where have you been? And I just started crying. I was like, you guys left me. Oh my God, I still feel like crying now.
I can see the tears in the
you
eyes.
You wanted to kill me. I've never felt like, you know how people like hate the dentist?
Yeah.
I didn't even hate the dentist going in.
I hated it coming up. Oh, I love the dentist.
I was just like, no.
I wanted to be a dentist once.
I wasn't supposed to eat nothing. I was like, I don't care anymore. I ate. I did everything. My mom went and bought me ice cream. I did everything. My mouth was just bleeding. I was like, I don't care. Like, burn my whole jaw. And then I came back. I had to come to the UK to get the stitches removed.
Yeah.
Remove the stitches. So when Mohammed was getting his tooth done, I showed, like, the dentist my,
what they done to
x-ray.
You?
Mm-hmm. And I was like, can you remove my other tooth? He was like, yeah, come. I was like, I'm not coming to you.
Why are they going to remove it though? What for, on the basis of what?
Oh, my teeth, my wisdom tooth are bent.
So they don't go up, they go in.
Because every time, basically, I deal with pain through pain, which is stupid. But every time they try to grow and I was in pain, I would I would push it to try and get the most pain out of it. So then I'd be like, okay, so this is the peak. And then I'd be like, this is as bad as it gets, done. So I would always like push my tooth. I didn't think about what I was doing at the time. I wasn't young, I was just stupid. So I'd always push my mouth and I would always like bite on it and all sorts. So then eventually they grew sideways.
Like this?
Yeah, so instead of
like
coming
straight
up.
Straight 90 degrees?
Straight 90 degrees.
90 degrees?
Instead of coming up, it's grown sideways. And so both of them have to be removed. And because they have to remove the bottom ones, the top ones have to be removed as well. Because it will just continue to grow if it doesn't have a tooth to stop it, they said.
Is it?
But I can actually feel, because now I can actually feel. It's not even, so it has to go.
They removed my wisdom teeth, but they did it when I was younger, when I had my braces.
They so just
like,
removed it for everybody.
But then they put me to sleep for it.
They did it in a hospital, right?
Yeah.
This! I want to go to the hospital and get it done, but then I feel like...
I feel like they did it for me because I was young. I got my braces when I was younger than, for example, Sophia, because she's got braces now. I think at a certain age, they can't necessarily do it when you're awake. They have to do it when you're sleeping because of the pain and whatnot. So all I remember is them struggling to find my veins, because they always struggle to find my veins and whatnot. And then some cold thing, boom, I'm awake. And then, oh, my mouth was so... Oh, I remember it was around Eid. And then I remember not taking any Eid pictures because my face was so... I have a big face and chubby cheeks anyway. But my face was so insane afterwards. But actually, no, afterwards, yeah. I remember waking up, I felt a bit, because all the stuff in my system. Then I was like, I'm hungry. So the first thing I did when I got home is I ate. But I could feel, and then I felt, I don't know, somewhere through the eating, I could feel some like a pain. It was like a hole. It was horrible, but I was so hungry at the time. I was just like, I'm going to just eat it. Yeah, I'm going to just eat food.
Mm.
But they gave me painkillers and whatnot. But I'm lucky in the sense that I did it so young that I was asleep. If you're older, after a certain age, you have to be awake to do it because it doesn't make sense.
I've requested that they put me to sleep for it, but then they put me on some long waiting list.
Yeah, they're not going
to,
yeah.
And I have to go back and request it again so that they can hurry up because my teeth are actually bad. But I have thought about it, I was like, maybe I can go through the pain again, but whenever I think about it, I'm just like...
Well, ask them to put you to sleep.
Yeah, they can only do that in a hospital. So I can't go to the dentist, I have to go to a hospital.
Yeah.
And to go to a hospital, you have to get referred.
Yeah,
that takes ages. The whole thing is long, so I need to go get my teeth removed.
Oh, no, just tell them about braces. Tell them about the pain.
Just even in pain, like my one of my mom's when I was in pain still had like some 13-week wait. Actually, my mouth was rotten.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know when like come, she was like, by the time she got there, she was like, my mouth is rotten. They were like, your mouth is rotten, like literally.
Yeah, that's Australia in the rotten. NHS, like where again my cousin, we had this lots of conversation about health the other day. My cousin's family
wouldn't change them for the world, like, but there's improvements to be done.
Like there's a strain on it, unfortunately, and it's a matter of because there's so little service they can give, they have to wait till people are on like a dying line to give surgery, which is a shame because people are suffering in that time. Unfortunately, unless there's certain things like cancer, like if there's a cancer scare, because there's
yeah, I remember now. My friend, she thought she had a bump, and then immediately it was like 5 p.m. The GP's about to close. They were like, come in now.
Really?
And I was like, swear. And then they were just like, oh no, it's fine.
Yeah, when I had a cancer scare. I haven't told people this, but hey, let's tell the people this. I had this lump in my breast and whatnot. And I thought it was normal. Like, I've lived my life with it. So only when it started to hurt, I was like, let me go to the doctor and just tell them. You know, I think that's probably the last time I went to the doctor. That was years ago. That's before I started, years ago, before I started uni. Then my doctor was like, oh, it's going to be fine. When they did the scans, it was a lot larger than what was classified as normal. So they literally just bummed me up all this. They was like, okay, they're going to remove it. They were a bit like, yes, no. And I will never forget how I was in the hospital and they were like, yeah, it's fine. And then the consultant ran in and he was like, no, we need to remove it now. And I was like, okay. They never said the word cancer, but everyone was a bit worried. And I was a bit like, okay, so cool. And then they were like, okay, it's going to be like, what, a few months. The next probably week, I was doing my surgery because it was a cancer scare. Because cancer is like it's a trend now. If you have cancer, they accelerate you. Unfortunately, that means other people get bumped down. And people will be in pain or whatnot. I don't know if I had cancer. I like to say myself I don't. As they tell
if you did, you'd have done the chemo, you'd have done all this, all that.
Yeah.
Did they tell your parents and not tell you?
They said, you are okay. I said, okay. And that's it. The lump is gone. But it was very, it was very, very fast. Because they were literally like, okay, it's going to be a few months, you know, it's okay, I'm going to forget about it. They called me up. Okay, when are you free? I was just like, damn, son, like, this is quick. But then I know people like that need to do surgery, they're still on the wait list.
It's better to go private sometimes.
But then
mine paid like a lot for my mouth when I went private.
Really? A private dentist, for example, look at the service you got. Like, okay, that's mainly because
the service was really good.
That's because of you,
bro. But my mouth was just
that's but sometimes you don't always get the service that because private, again, another conversation that my cousins are doctors, my cousin and her husband are both doctors, they talk about medical stuff a lot. They're saying how with privates they're great to go to for like quick things, small things, but sometimes like complicated things they're probably going to still need to refer you back to the NHS, which just means you just went in a circle sort of thing. And because they're private, yeah, they don't specialize in all these complicated things.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it's just like you don't necessarily always get somewhere. A lot of the time they are great.
It's best to go to the NHS and get like your I was gonna say testimony, but get like your why is words escaping me? Whatever you, what is it? Like, you're diagnosis? Just staring at me. Is it diagnosis? But diagnosis isn't the one I want. But yeah, it's best to go to the NHS and get your diagnosis and then go to like private if you want. Once you know what it is you need to
Fix. Diagnosis.
But his diagnosis wasn't the one I wanted to use. I feel like it begins with
symptoms.
V.
validation.
I feel like validation is also on my tongue, but the word I want to begin with V, but I can't think of it. But I always say that the word will begin with P or something. Prognosis? I don't know. Anyways,
I think it's actually diagnosis, guys.
Let's introduce ourselves and wrap up, because
oh, we never did that. But by now, you know the drill.
Exactly. Hello, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to an episode of Bantuk, the It's Spoken podcast, brought to you by Brian Munjai. You can catch us every Wednesday on soundcloud.com/Bantuk Pod and on iTunes and now on YouTube. I finally did that. Oh my god, that was such a process. You can also find us on our website, BrianMunjai.com. I'm Nims.
And I'm Sada, and we just talked about a range of topics where we pre-agree his for and against. That's what we normally do, but we just talked today. Our goal is to provide a wholesome discussion, try and put ourselves in other people's shoes and understand different views. Make sure you're following us on social media to get involved in the discussion. Like, Nima is really good with the polls. I'm slacking, but I will be there eventually. We're going to jump on Twitter one day, inshallah. We're going to be there, so you get involved, discuss, have fun. That's us. Are we wrapping up now too?
Yeah.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.